Okay, so this place, the whole of Deer Park, is one of the best places to talk about subtle consciousness, the title of our retreat. So these 3 days, the past 3 days, we have been discussing about our crazy mind, you know, because we cannot start immediately talk about such consciousness, because otherwise such consciousness will become just an abstract concept. But first, we really have to understand how crazy our mind is, and we know this mind very well. That's why we really have to start from this, our reality itself. You know? Otherwise, again, we are wasting our time. You know, because I know some great masters, they are living constantly in this subtle consciousness. Then, when you are living in a subtle consciousness, there are certain characteristics, like very joyful, very kind, compassionate, and always full of humor, and very attractive. You know, like a Tibetan Rinpoche, some Rinpoche, like last night I met Kenzo Rinpoche, and he is something like that. You know, he is very charming, but why? Because he is constantly joyful, you know, and this, his joy is very contagious, you know, like a spreading. That's why his students are attracted by him, you know. But there is another problem, you know, because if we are with that kind of person, we already feel joy, you know. But if we are not well aware of our own crazy mind, then such a joy will disappear so quickly, you know. Then we have to be with all the Rinpoche, you know. Then Rinpoche has to be with so many people, you know, a little too much, you know. So that's why, you know, he cannot be with millions of people all the time. But millions of people is now dependent on him. You know, it's too much for him. So that's why we should not be dependent on this kind of great master. We should learn so many things from them, but we should not depend on them. You know? So then we have to really learn why they are so joyful, they are so full of energy and kindness, and they are so gentle to everybody. You know, like you know, like His Holiness Dalai Lama, he is so kind to literally everybody. You know, TV reporters or anybody, beggars, you know, everybody. You know, then we are so impressed. His Holiness just came to Japan last month, in November. And the Japanese people are also impressed by his extremely modest, you know. But we really have to learn why they are so joyful and modest and kind like that. Okay? So today, we are talking about these kind of things, you know. Okay. So let's start again a quotation from Dhammapada. Chapter 1 and 11 and 12. Okay. They who imagine truth in untruth, and see untruth in truth, never arrive at truth, but follow vain desires. Then, this is always twin, so other part is like this. They who know truth in truth, and untruth in untruth, arrive at truth and follow true desires. So what does it mean? You know, truth in untruth, or truth in truth. Truth in untruth, already we discussed enough, you know, summing up. There is an objective situation. It's raining. I have a stomachache. Then our egoic mind say no. As a habit. Because our egoic mind cannot say yes as a nature. That's why following our nature, our habit, we just say no. No to morning rain. No to stomachache. No to today's breakfast. No to our partner. Something like that. It's your habit. Please understand, this is your habit. No. Then, what's happened? If you say no, then suddenly, objective situation, which has nothing to do with good or bad, becomes something bad. Morning rain becomes something bad. Stomachache becomes something bad. Then you believe something bad exists objectively. Okay. This is the beginning of our suffering. Morning rain suddenly becomes the cause of your suffering. And then, or you think like that. Okay. Then you are justified to be miserable and unhappy because of morning rain, because of your stomachache, something like that. Okay. So, but then, if we really understand this structure, we cannot say morning rain, because of morning rain, I am miserable. We cannot blame our stomachache, our morning rain, or something like that. So, what should we blame? Of course, our crazy mind. Right? So this is our starting point. Okay? Because if we don't understand this point so clearly, we will continuously blame outside situation or outside people or something like that, external things. Okay? Then we believe we are doing right things because they are bad, they are wrong. That's why I am blaming. Then I try to be happy by blaming them. But of course you cannot. Okay? Then, but if we can clearly see this structure, we will discover another option of saying yes, to say yes to the reality, no? Then situation will change completely. Okay? So, now, you have said yes to the situation. what happens? Suddenly, you feel relief. You feel joy. You feel at least not unhappy, not miserable anymore. Strangely enough, why? Because the rain is still going on, and your stomach is still going on. But you can have a completely different world. This is a miracle of yes. You know? And this yes doesn't mean yes to my desire, okay, I can have anything or something like that. Because if, please, really examine your mind very carefully, especially if you want to study Dharma, no, you should not be superficial, you know. I'm talking about no and yes in very subtle level. Don't interpret this yes and no in very superficial level, okay? Because I'm talking about very subtle no and very subtle yes in our mind, which exist at the beginning of this world. What kind of world? World of suffering. Okay? So, of course, in Buddhism, we say dependent origination, 12 links of dependent origination. What is the first link? Of course, it's ignorance. You know? Ignorance. But, then, it's, well, in Pali, it's called avijja. No, avijja means, literally means, not clear, not bright, it's dark. You know? Because dark, some kind of darkness, it means we cannot see things very well, you know. So that's why some this dependent origination starts from this darkness or ignorance or not clear things. But again, we really have to understand what's happened to this darkness. You know? What's happened to this darkness? What's happened to this ignorance? You know, ignorance or darkness is not enough. We really have to analyze a little more. Then, we can say, we know that in this darkness, we said no. This is what happened to this in this darkness. And you can see clearly this no in your mind. You know? And this is, again, it's very habitual. You know, habitual, someone said to me, it's his habit to say always no. To no to everything. To say no to morning rain, morning breakfast, to the people on the street, you know, to the colleague or even to partner or something like that. You know? So then we become, of course, more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. Okay? So now we know exactly what happened to this darkness. We said no. Okay? Then what is the opposite? Avijja's opposite to avijja. It's a clearness. You know? Now bright. What should we do to overcome darkness? You know, we have to say yes to the external reality. Okay, and this yes doesn't mean, okay, yes, or I can do anything, yes to my sexual desire and I have an affair or something. Of course not. You know, why do you have an affair? Only because you are miserable. Only because you are not satisfied. It means you are saying no to your marriage life or something like that. That's why you have an affair. It's not like saying yes to your sexual desire. No, you have said no, you know. So if you say yes to your marriage life, then how come you can have an affair if it's impossible? Then that's why you can keep 5 precepts very easily if you say yes. Okay? Please understand the meaning of yes and no in a very subtle level. You know? Okay, so now we have said yes. Okay? Then what's happened? Suddenly, you can feel joy. You can feel warmness like that. Okay? So then, in Dhammapada, we find first truth in untruth. Now it's very clear. We already discussing now. Because of your no, you made the external reality something bad. Then you blame it. External reality has nothing to do with good or bad. But it's your mind, your crazy mind made this external reality bad. This is the meaning of truth in untruth or untruth in truth. Okay? We made up. So then, what is the truth in truth? Untruth in untruth. Now, we say yes to the morning rain. Then suddenly, we can see things very clearly. Morning rain, it's just raining. It's just raining. And temperature is like this. This is a natural phenomenon. You know? It is not bad weather. It is not bad. It's just raining. And our stomach ache. This is not bad. This is just a physical condition. You just ate something wrong last night, or you ate too much last night. That's why you have a stomach. It's a physical condition. It is not bad. It is not something bad. Okay? So if you can really understand like this, if you can see things as they are like this, how come you can become unhappy? How come you can become miserable? Of course you don't. You know, you don't become like that. Okay? So that's why you can clearly see things as they are, like as a vipassana. You know? Truth in truth and untruth in untruth. You know, understand. There's nothing wrong with your stomachache. There is nothing bad with your morning rain. Something like that. Okay? So, that's why now some kind of joy is arising inside yourself. Okay? Okay, until now I'm constantly using the word unhappiness or misery or like that, you know, frustration or like that. Then from now, maybe we can use a more positive word, you know? But unless we clearly recognize our misery or unhappiness or like that, we can't find joy or happiness or like that. Well, sometimes people ignore all these things and people have attachments to this. Then this doesn't work. That's why first we really have to see some ugly aspect of our ego. Only then we can go to a beautiful place. Okay? But now there's another trap. Okay, now everyone understand our crazy mind is extremely problematic. And I think most of people in this world already feel it. You know, already feel it. Then, what do they do? Do they meditate? Unfortunately, no. Of course, all of you are meditating, but you are extremely minority, you know. Most of the people in this world, they don't meditate. But, of course, they are suffering. And they feel they are not exactly clearly understand the situation, but at least they feel, you know, vaguely their mind is a problem. It's like they have some kind of knife inside themselves, and their knife is constantly, you know, attacking them, hurting them, you know. It's very painful, very painful.
You know?
So, of course, if your partner attacks you, it's very painful. But the most painful thing is you attack yourself. Your mind attack yourself. You know, this is the most important, painful. Because you can even escape from your partner, but you cannot escape from yourself. Okay? Then usually people, what do? They don't, instead of doing meditation, what do? Of course they do alcohol, they drink alcohol, they take drug, you know, legal or illegal, you know. Or they just watch TV, you know, they watch TV, or something like that. For what? To, like, they try to, you know, make their mind less sharp, you know, or something like that, you know. Then, little by little, you know, maybe their mind becomes something calm down. The knife stops attacking themselves. Maybe they feel a little bit better, like that. You know, they are a little bit free from their internal knife, you know. So that's why so many people have attachment or addiction to alcohol or drugs or like that, everything. And this world is offering so many things, so many kinds of these kind of things. Why? Because people need it. And we know that if we prohibit alcohol, most of people become crazy. You know, before World War II, America did this kind of experiment. You know, but it didn't work, as everyone knows. You know, only gangster made lots of money. You know? So now we cannot say, no, you should not drink. You know? Because without alcohol, so many people will become totally crazy. And maybe they will kill each other. Or they will kill themselves. We know that. But of course, alcohol is not a good thing. Why? Because they are not exactly overcoming their thinking mind, their crazy mind. But they are just, you know, making them weaker. And what's happened? They become unconscious. You know? It means they go below thinking. You know? Like a vegetable. Like that. So this is not what we are doing here. Okay? The such alcoholic people and we have a same problem, thinking mind. Thinking mind is an internal knife. Okay? Then alcoholic people, they try to get rid of this internal knife by drinking too much. They want to forget everything. But they become unconscious. They become addictive, something like that. And this is not our way. Okay? Then, what are we doing? We are trying to go beyond our thinking mind. Okay? And this is the only way for all the people on this planet. Otherwise, we cannot go forward, go forward anymore. And this alcohol or drugs, all these things almost stop working right now. We can't take alcohol, we cannot take more alcohol, we cannot take more drug anymore because they don't work anymore. So that's why now many people suffer a lot because until now, with all these kind of things, they make them like a knob. But now, they can't do anymore. Then, internal knife is now, you know, attacking themselves. What should we do? So, only way, choice, only also, only one choice is really meditation. Okay, so until now, very few minority people have been doing meditation. Now, as everyone knows, Japan is, maybe you think Japan is a country of Zen, or zazen, you know, but very few Japanese people actually doing zazen, sitting meditation. Not like the same as India. India is a country of yoga. Outside of India, we think like that, but very, very few Indian people are doing yoga. You know, same. But from now, meditation or yoga, I really believe this is the only one choice for humanity to survive. You know. Then, but we really have to understand by doing meditation, what are we doing? We are trying to go beyond our crazy thinking mind. You know? Not using alcohol, not using legal or illegal drugs, not using some kind of, you know, pleasures, you know. But we literally go beyond our thinking mind. And now we know that, as we discussed yesterday, we have a thinking mind. But we are not thinking mind. We are more than thinking mind. How do we know that? Because after we let go of our thinking mind, we are still we. We don't become nothing. Okay? So, by every morning we do internal work, inner body work. You know, inner body work. Inner body work means we observe the body sensation and we enter into the subtle energy level. You know? As we did this morning. Look what's happened. Your body, or maybe we can say the things which used to be your body, you know, lost its boundary. Then your body and cosmos become just one. And you can just feel it from your inside. There's not anymore your arm, your legs, your torso, your head, nothing anymore, you know. Over there is just only subtle energy. And subtle energy is not limited. It's not that subtle energy is flowing in your body. It's not like that. You know that subtle energy is flowing all cosmos, you know, like that. As long as you think your body is just bones and muscle or like that, then your body is just like this. This is your body, this is not. You know, this is just cushion, this is the floor. But now, if you enter into this subtle energy dimension, this body and this cushion and this floor, no difference. No difference. This is not philosophy. You yourself can feel it by doing this meditation. At that time, you don't have any more as thinking mind. Then we do compassion meditation. Then compassion meditation, we finally eradicate our egoic thinking mind. You know, our ego has been doing so many damaging ourselves, our relationship with our partner or people on the street and our enemy or something like that. But finally, we pointed out this egoic mind, you know. Then we finally let it go. Okay. Then what's happened to you? Do you become nothing? No, you don't. You are still you. You lost your egoic thinking mind. But you are still you. You know? As I said, like a Pravin or a Prashant, you know, they are their back stuff. But it doesn't mean if they stop being their back stuff, they become nothing. No, they don't. Maybe one day they will quit their back. Then they will leave their back. But they are they. They are they. They don't become nothing. Like this. But we have been thinking like this. We are, not just that we have thinking mind, but we thought we are thinking mind. We and we are thinking mind is identical. That's why this is our fundamental misunderstanding. You know? But now we know by meditating like inner body work and compassion meditation, and we let go of our thinking mind. Our thinking mind is just gone. But we didn't become nothing. We are just we. And what's happened to you? Not only just we didn't become nothing, we become more alert, more aware of everything, more joyful, and of course compassion, more compassionate, more friendly. And of course you will be kind to everybody because you have full of compassion. You know? Like that. Then how do you feel toward this world? You know? As many people ask me, like, how do we know I am still in the thinking mind world or I am out of the thinking mind world? How can I judge? You can judge very easily, you know. If you are in the world of thinking mind, everything looks very dim, very like depressing, very like uncomfortable, very like not joyful. But if you go beyond your thinking mind world, then what's happened to the world? The world looks so fresh, looks so pleasant, looks so beautiful, looks so, of course, peaceful, you know, like that. So you know that this difference, okay? So and from now, please pay attention to this difference. How does the world look like for me now, right now? You know? Now, beautiful sunlight is entering into this room. Can you really enjoy this light? You know, this deer park is so beautiful. There are so many kinds of beautiful flower, you know, and birds and like that. You know, and today, tomorrow, the weather is perfect. You know, you can see sky as clearly as possible, and you can see the mountains, you can see this morning light, evening light, you know, and at night you can see so many stars, you know. Can you really enjoy it? You know? So, if you are free from your thinking mind, you should be able to enjoy this kind of things. Just sunlight entering into this room. You know? You don't have to analyze. You can just enjoy it. You can just enjoy it. So, then you know clearly understand the difference between the world of your crazy thinking mind and the world of after you get out of such a prison. You know? The world looks so beautiful. The world looks so joyful. You know? Constant joy, constant beauty, and constant peace. And no more anxiety, no more fear, no more anger, no more, and no more desire. Why do you have a desire? Because you are not satisfied. And you have an imagination. If I get that one, I'll be happy. But now you are completely satisfied, content, maybe content. Content is a better word. Content. That's why you don't need anything else. So, Buddhism says, oh, desire is not good. Okay, desire is not good. Okay, I should suppress my desire. You know, this is not Dharma. So desire is not good. Why? Because desire means you are saying no to your present state. But now you said yes. You are content. That's why your desire will disappear naturally. You don't have to suppress your desire. You don't have to suppress your anger. You don't have anger anymore. Okay? So, now finally you are getting out of the world of your crazy, negative, egoic mind state. And now you are entering into this completely new world, beyond the thinking mind world. And then characteristic of it is joy, beauty, and compassion, that kind of things. Okay? So for a while, please clarify how different. Okay? Then, little by little, please get used to this new world. And by just enjoying this sunlight, the sound of this bird, and or marigold, everything. Or now we are going to drink tea soon, so just taste of tea, taste of bread, taste of rice, taste of curry, like that. And enjoy company. Enjoy also being with your friends. You know, we are so happy to be with all these people. You know, you can enjoy friendship. Okay, so today I talked about how do you feel when you enter into this new world after getting out of this crazy world which is made by our own crazy mind. Okay, so now let's have a question and answer session. Okay, anything? Yes, please. Okay.
When you say the chant, the
Om Nimini Mahamunai Swaha, it's just a mantra of Shakyamuni Buddha. So, Om Nimini Mahamunai Swaha. I think venerable, respectable things, right? I think just like a respectable, like a great liberator or something like that. Yes, please ask what I just talked to him. Oh, yes, please. Struggling with what?
Sometimes, not all the time when I meditate, I can feel the stillness of my body and the atmosphere and the planet that we live in. And then other times, I struggle to feel that sensation again.
Okay, struggling in meditation is still your leftover ego. Okay? So, yesterday we discussed about the misunderstanding between great master and students. You know, great master now meditating. He is in meditative state. For his mind, in-breath, out-breath is very clear. Okay? So then he thought he is watching breath. You know? Then student asked him, how can I enter into meditative state like Master is now? And he gave him instruction, okay, student, you should watch your breath. You know? Something like that. Then student tried to watch their breath. It didn't work. Why? Did Master say untruth? No. Okay, in Master's mind, in breath, out breath are so clear. But he's watching, he is not watching his breath. Or precisely speaking, his thinking mind, it's not his thinking mind that is watching the breath. But then students try to watch their breath by their thinking mind. Why? Because student doesn't know anything but thinking mind. Okay? So whatever they do everything with their thinking mind. But this is such a great meditation master, their thinking mind already dropped. Then in-breath, out-breath is so clear. But if great master describes these things with language, there is no proper language to describe this. That's why if we say in English, they say the master is watching breath. That's it, you know. And this is extremely misleading, you know. So, why? Because if I say the master is watching the breath, then it means subject is the master. But actually, what is really going on is watching the breath. We cannot say anything about this. It's not master. It's not master's thinking mind. Just watching in-breath, out-breath. Only watching is going on. There is no someone who is doing it. Okay? But student always, they do everything with their mind like that. Then, now student is watching the breath. Then it doesn't work. Okay? So then, you said struggle in meditation. So all the struggles, you know, people try to watch their breath, people try to watch their body sensation, everything. As long as there is your thinking mind there, then meditation will become just struggle. Mental struggle, physical struggle. Physical struggle means tension and pain or like that, you know. Okay? So, as you know well, in many meditation centers, meditators are just struggling. They are not meditating. They are struggling, you know. They are struggling is a more precise word, you know. And why? Only are they lazy? No, they are not lazy. They are very serious, you know. They go to Myanmar, or they go to Thailand, or they go to Nepal for the sake of meditation. But instead of meditating, they are just struggling. Why? Only because they have not yet let go of their thinking mind. And they try to do meditation even with their thinking mind because they have no choice, because they have no idea that they can do things without their thinking mind. Because they have been doing everything with their thinking mind. They cannot imagine of doing something without their thinking mind. Okay? So that's why struggling in their meditation is created by their thinking mind. Okay? So if you feel some kind of struggle in your meditation, it means you are still doing meditation with your thinking mind. So that's why first your main purpose is just to main focus right now is just analyze your mind, then please let go of your mind. Okay, then only then you can really watch your body sensation, you can really watch your in-breath, out-breath. Okay, so anyway, so if you know, if you feel struggle or mental tension or physical tension or most of pain are caused by this reason. Okay? So that's why just let go of your thinking mind. Okay, yes. Okay. Yes.
I cannot let go my thinking mind. The two questions. One is that it's easier said than done.
Of course.
To let go of the thinking mind.
Mm.
It's not a switch that one can switch off.
Mm.
So this keeps on going on. And how does one transcend that? Even while meditating, as she was asking, this keeps on functioning, this keeps on intervening, this keeps on coming into that. This is one. Second is that when we suppose that we transcend the thinking
mind,
then when we go into the subtle mind, what happens? The mind, what is the kind of sensation that grasps whatever is happening there? I mean, even experiences are interjected by mind. Then you feel cold because there is a mind there. So even if it is an experiential reality, you do not let your mind go at that stage also, or do you?
Your question is very clear. You know, I think everyone has your question. You know? So, but I think my all talks these 4 days are really answering to your question. You know, I think you know already. But anyway, you said you cannot switch off, but you can. You know, like the light of this room, you know, there's a switch over there, you know. So then we can switch down on, down off, down on, down off, you know. Then we can very easily control this light. Our mind is the same, actually. Our mind is the same. But because we couldn't find our switch, that's why we had a hard time. Even this room, you know. Sometimes very dark. I don't know where is the switch, you know. So we cannot turn on the light, you know. Like everyone knows. So same thing. Our mind, same. We don't know where is the switch. Where is the switch? That's why we couldn't turn on, turn off, you know. But he found the switch. He found the switch, you know. Then he showed where your switch is. Okay. So where is your switch? Body sensation. Body. Your body. Your body is a switch. Okay? So by paying attention to your body, then you naturally switching off your thinking mind. For most people. But some people have a too strong thinking mind. Then their thinking mind even try to watch their body sensation, you know. Then nothing happens, unfortunately. You know? So, anyway, I'm talking about ordinary people, you know. So, if you have a moderate amount of thinking mind, you can switch off by observing body sensation. If not, then what you need is just a practice. Just practice. Okay? Maybe today a little difficult, but tomorrow, maybe you know by feeling subtle energy, then your thinking mind will become a little bit smaller than before, like that. So this, please, you can clearly see, if you have too much thinking mind, you don't feel anything in this body. Your mind is completely, you are stuck in your head, like that. So your head and body is here, cut off. And many people are just living only here, you know. And many people are living here, and this head is just floating in the air. And they don't have a body, you know, like that. So that's why I said switch is here, body and compassion. These two switches are most effective switch. So that's why maybe still you don't know how to turn on, turn off, but please understand switch exists in body sensation and compassion. Then now you need just practice how to switch on, switch off. Okay? Then, second question is more important and more difficult to answer. Because you have been recognizing everything with your thinking mind until now, you know? Why? Because you have been living only in the world of thinking mind. Okay? But now you are going beyond this thinking mind. It means you are going to foreign country, okay? So you are living in a home country and you know language well, English or Hindi or like that. But if you go to Japan, we speak Japanese, I'm sorry, you know, like that. Then you now you have to understand Japanese, like that. Then by Japanese, you can understand it. But in this world, you can understand only English or Hindi or like that. But if you go outside, you have to understand foreign language. You know, something like that. So, that's why you have been recognized everything with your thinking mind. Then your question is, if we go beyond thinking mind, how come we can recognize this? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Your thinking mind stops, but you are aware of it. Maybe to stop thinking mind completely is very difficult, but maybe you can slow down your thinking mind. Then, but still, you are aware of everything. Or you are more aware of everything. You are more aware of your in-breath, out-breath when your thinking mind becomes less and less. You are aware more of body sensation when your mind becomes less and less. Something like that. No. But in some meditation, we can completely eradicate our thinking mind like that, you know. Then what happens? They will become nothing? No. They become more. They become clear awareness. Then we know clearly, yes, I am not thinking mind. Why? Because my thinking mind has completely gone, but I didn't become nothing. I am more me. And I have more clear awareness. That's it. It means I am not thinking mind. I am more than that. You know. Okay. So, but this is not theory. You know. please experiment it. You know, by yourself. Okay. Your question is very useful for us. You know. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. So let's continue. Okay. And we'll have a tea meditation right now.